Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. We are coming on today to talk about healing chronic illness and autoimmune diseases. And the team over here at Reiki Cafe Community knows all about that in so many ways. Ultimately, everything that we manifest as physical disease in our body 95% of the time are coming from suppressed emotional issues. And so we really want to shine a light on that of like, where are our physical ailments, diseases, chronic illness, autoimmune, where is it actually coming from? And how do we put the brakes on it? And not only that, but completely pivot into a new reality. And so you've got two fantastic teachers with you today who have struggled personally with this and other people in our lives who we have helped. And have given us really great examples of what not to do. So we really want to be able to have this really wonderful dynamic coffee conversation with you all today, noticing like sometimes and this is where that 95%, that 5% other is like genetic curses that I've seen. I have seen it come through as, especially in childhood in illness, it's part of your soul contract that you've come in specifically with a disease to teach other people in your life something. So those are like not as often, you know, but it does occur. And those can also be healed. You know, once everyone learns lessons, if you came in with a soul contract to have something and everyone's learned the lesson, you can sign off on it and it be complete, right? And so I've helped families through that type of situation, and also the genetic curse. You know, where did that come from? Why is it cursed? How far back do we need to look? How many generations ago did this get instilled in this bloodline? And knowing that that is really rare compared to the most often is that we have emotionally suppressed things going on. And so we need to look at that. And maybe it's this inherited emotional suppression that's actually the trigger and not actually this something else going on. So we always want to look at what's going on in my physical body and how can I fully take responsibility for the energy and emotion that is caught within me so that I can bring it to the surface, heal it, clear it. And really, this is where we're going to start today. How can we excuse the identity of the disease, the diagnosis? How can we not claim it to say, this is who I am? Because when we claim this is who I am ill, I am sick, I am have an autoimmune, like I am, those statements will solidify that diagnosis in your container, in your DNA. It's going, oh, I'm sick, so I'm just going to replicate that, right? And we need to cut that off. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Chantel. And we can start off this conversation with, how does this look for you? What do you have to contribute? Because I know we both have our stories.
Definitely. I liked the intro of just starting with the soul contract part and the generational trauma, because we never really look at that side of it. And I know it's a smaller percentage of it, but I did like that whole explanation to kind of just plant those seeds for our listeners to recognize that it isn't always because of this life, but what we've brought in with us. So with that said, going back to not connecting to the identity of what the illness, the diagnosis, and what your doctor's telling you doesn't mean that we don't look at the diagnosis for what it is and all of the ways of healing it, working with it, meds and all that stuff, but not allowing the hooks to come into the psyche, to the mindset, the thoughts, the emotions and everything, because it really is an emotionally based thing, or at least I feel it is, that when we are suppressing our emotions, going through traumas, this creates dis-ease in the body. It creates kind of like a homestead for illness to grow and evolve. And that is where I come in with my experience. So long story short, I've dealt with a lot of trauma in my life, grief and death and things that created a hothead, so to speak. And so I was diagnosed 5 years ago with autoimmune with MS, with multiple sclerosis. And so with that, I started receiving symptoms of eye issues, vision, that kind of thing. And so when I went to the doctor, they gave me this diagnosis with a prognosis that was actually really, really scary, saying that I wasn't going to walk, I wasn't going to see, I wasn't going to have all this experience. And in my life, like everything was going to come to an end. And I said, no, that's not my life. That's not where I align to. And because of that mindset, I went in search of holistic practices, which I found Reiki. I changed my diet, which we'll get into that, and different things. And so I realized what happened is I didn't align with health, like a disease and illness. I aligned with health and wellness. And when I did that, it changed my mindset and everything, all the chemistry in my body. And I've been completely symptom-free for almost 5 years now. Like, it's not even in my field. Like, I don't even acknowledge it. It's not a part of my world. But that's my experience in how I looked at it.
Yeah.
And how I didn't want it to dictate my life.
Well, and it's interesting because I think so many of us, especially in this day and age of things are very rapid. There's a lot going on in our society and our culture. And, you know, it's very different than 100 years ago. Like if you wanted to send hate mail, you had to give it to the postman and you'd be lucky to send it in 2 weeks. Now it's just hate comments left and right on the internet. You know, like we're just living in a really fast society. And so things hit a lot faster. And for me, it was also like long-term stress. Long-term chronic emotional abuse from my ex-husband. It was a really difficult marriage, getting out to be safe, like all of these things. And that was stored. The trauma of that situation was stored in my body. And it wasn't until I started having autoimmune issues arise that I really was like, I need to look at where this is coming from. And for me, like I knew right away, like, okay, I need like the Reiki practice is coming in and I want to look at everything through the lens of the chakras. And so as I was healing, I was like, okay, what's root chakra about? What's sacral chakra about? It wasn't hyper-focused on one. It was all of them. And I moved through them strategically. And in that going, okay, we're going to take the time to heal this. And then we're going to move on and we're going to take the time to heal the next one. And then we're going to move through all seven and notice how it relates to my physical wellness and well-being. So even though I was having significant health issues, and you know, I also want to bring up oftentimes, especially for women, it's really hard to get an appropriate diagnosis. Like how long does it take to get a diagnosis? And then trying to find some type of support around that. It can be really difficult in our society to be listened to be heard, and going, now it makes sense in my head what it is. And now I'm going, I don't want to identify it, right? It was, for me, it was like, I had gone to numerous practitioners, including medical doctors, and no one was asking the crucial question of how much are you actually bleeding every day? like that seemed really kind of important. And so without too much information, like I don't want to go TMI on y'all, but it took like about a year for to finally land in a naturopath's office. And she asked that question and she immediately called up to the hospital and was like, you need to get her in now. You know, like I was in a position where I'm like, I'm not going to survive this and no one will give me the time of day. Yeah, and so that was really hard.
Just tapping on that, mine was the doctors were trying to, it was sinuses. They were saying I was having a sinus infection, and they were stuck on that for like 6 months. And it wasn't until I went to my actual eye doctor who said, no, you have something neurologically going on because your eyes are healthy and everything with my sinuses. And then when I went back to my primary, he goes, I wouldn't do an MRI for you. He goes, but you have this referral that I have to do now. And I was just like, he's like, I have to honor it. And I was like, well, thank God. But by the time that even happened, but yes, it takes so long for them to even acknowledge it sometimes and ask the right questions.
Right. And so part of me is going like, if you have significant, severe health issues going on, you're bleeding out, your vision is going away, keep searching for your answers, because it's part of the healing journey. Mm-hmm. To go, okay, I'm in a crucial place that if this keeps going, I'm going to be stuck in bed and probably dead in 6 months. Like, we need to change that course as well. And so even if it was like, for me, it was 10 years plus of chronic stress that came to a point of coming to this point of a head, right? And so it's not like for me particularly, like, I needed to change the course of a lot of things. It wasn't just one thing. It was like, I have to heal all of this. And my body is now wired to be in a state of receiving chronic stress. And so that's going to take time and attention to unravel it. And so
that's a great point with the chronic, like, it's ready to receive it. That's with our fight or flight. Like, we're just ready to receive chronic illness, stress, anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so having like looking at it, and it was like putting a mosaic puzzle piece together. Each piece made more sense, including the chakras, including understanding, oh, the reason why your stomach doesn't make any stomach acid is because of all the chronic stress in your life that's been going on for the last 10, 15 years. Right. Like, I would have no idea. And so it took a long time to get the initial diagnosis, and then finding my path for healing with the practitioners that matched my energy. Like, the doctor that I ended up with finally figured out what was going on. It was actually really like, as soon as I was in front of him, he knew exactly what was going on, which was great. Like, I got the diagnosis, but my presentation was a rare form of presentation. It wasn't the normal form of presentation for the diagnosis of ulcerative colitis. Right. And so because it wasn't quote unquote normal presentation for him, he gave crap nutritional advice. What he told me did the exact opposite of what I needed. And so I was actually getting worse by his recommendation. And it's so frustrating to go to a GI doc who knows nothing about nutrition. One would think those would go hand in hand, right? But they don't.
Well, I learned in my journey that they don't have, they only get like one semester of dietary training. So when I went to mine and I was bringing, so my primary diet is keto. And through my studying, I learned that it's a great brain diet. So it really helps with the myelin sheath and rehealing that part of the brain that gets attacked. And when I brought that to his attention, he said, we don't even look at diet. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't drink sodas. I don't eat sugar. All these things I naturally eliminate from my diet, you know? And I said, compared to someone who does drink all this and all that. And he said, no, it's not recordable. Like, you can't prove data because people lie what they eat. I'm like, this is me. Let's talk about me and not like everyone. So yeah, it was very frustrating.
It's really frustrating. It's like the medical model. And I knew this from when I was part of like the midwifery community. Like, I was studying midwifery and we have so much nutritional education and OBs don't. So, you know, like, I would have a client who comes in and was like, preeclampsia, you know, their blood pressure is spiking. I'm like, you need to have more protein. Like, I would know the solution right away. But the OBs, it's just not in their repertoire. And like, they're not trained to do it. And so recognizing, like, I'm talking to a wall because they don't have their, this is not in their wheelhouse. So understanding that, like, just because you found a doctor and you've gotten this diagnosis doesn't mean, one, you need to accept the diagnosis, but it does mean that you need to continue your journey on a healing path. And you might need to pull in other healing practitioners that are going to help you along that path and along that journey. And that is okay. But don't I see a lot of people who get the diagnosis and then they marry that doctor and they're like energetically marry the doctor and they just feed right into everything that they are told and just go on all of the meds, which in some cases are important, like especially if you're in a such a state where it's life threatening, you know, like I get it. And who in your world can you bring in as a practitioner who is actually here to help you heal, not manage a chronic disease? Notice the difference. I want to heal my colon. I don't want to just pump it full of meds and steroids to keep it from swelling up. I want to know why, and I want to know how can I keep my colon happy?
When you pivot to like the functional medicine doctor, the holistic medicine doctor, because for myself, when I started searching, my actual doctor is in Arizona and I'm in California because my primary wasn't giving me any resources that was aligning with where I was going with my health and everything. And so I traveled all the way to Arizona to do it because he was looking at the full body and not just the symptoms of what I was having, just the diagnosis of that. And I think that's what is so important. And I love, like, don't marry your doctor. It's okay to go get a second opinion. It's okay to seek outside of your insurance plan and all of that, you know, even if it is a little bit out of pocket, because I know when I look for a second opinion, my doctor actually got really upset. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this is my life. And you want me to go pump all these, you know, steroids and, you know, whatever in me. And so going for the functional, the practitioners that are looking at the whole body and fixing the root cause, like working on the root cause is what's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so like in my experience, it was the same. Like I was searching for another holistic practitioner. And for me, that was a functional medicine coach because they really look at it holistically, your whole body. They want to look at the hormones and they want to look at your gut health and take fecal samples and all of the things, which is not in the normal repertoire of the medical model. But I remember the day that I chose to go to her. It was right before the pandemic shut down, like literally the day before. And everyone was kind of freaking out because no one knew what was going on. And I remember sitting in my car going, well, I can either go to the emergency room and probably spend $2,000 on a procedure and keep doing that forever, like every 2 months having to go to the emergency room to get a procedure, or I can spend just that much amount of money on this functional medicine coach and actually have real change and trust that food could be a solution. And I remember just the people in my life going like rooting for the medical model and going, it's not a solution. It's a temporary, you know, let's make it through this week instead of like dying. Right. And going, this isn't working for me. And I remember going to the functional medicine, signing the contract with my functional medicine coach, and she gave me a diet plan that healed the issue within 2 days. And I was like, wow, yeah, fantastic. And so, and I loved it because that relationship was one that I could text her and go, hey, this is coming up for me. What should I be doing? And it was such a different relationship than with the doctor's office, right? You call up to the doctor's office. They'll tell the nurse will tell the doctor may or may not get back to you. It may have to go through the nurse and they don't have the information that you want anyway, right? Like it was so
frustrating. They're in and out of the office in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Any doctors, including the naturopaths I've worked with are like, they may or may not get back to you in a timely fashion. And I just was like, I'm paying this good amount of money so that when I say I'm freaking out, this is what's going on with my gut. What should I do? And she's like, eat a yam. Like she texts back instantly. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Like I just needed a solution, an idea. Like, and you know, she kind of kicked my ass in so many ways because she was able to go like, let's really figure out what the core issue is physically. So while I was working on healing energetically. Like I was doing my Reiki practice. I was researching the chakras. She was also like, she was like, I absolutely hear you. This is an emotional cause. But the thing about gut health is that it takes a decade to get to where you are. And so now we need some time to unravel that pattern and going, why, what can we do to, for your stomach and for your gut and all of your digestive system to help it get back on track. So we need to know what's going on in your gut right now so that we know what path to take forward. And so we did a fecal analysis, which was crazy. You know, you're shipping off your poop somewhere to some lab and it comes back with everything. E. coli, H. pylori, parasite, like everything that I could possibly have in my gut. And she instantly was like, you know what this means? It means your stomach isn't making any acid because everything that you put in your body, it's going right through. It's not killing off anything.
And it's feeding all the wrong things.
Right. And so it's just like your bacteria balance is out of control. It's like exactly what the yogurt is all full of your gut and there's no balance. It's like you have yeast problems. You have overgrowth of this and that and all these things. And it's just, but she's like, but what it tells me is that it's your stomach. Your stomach isn't producing any acid. And that's why if you're drinking your raw cow's milk and it's got a trace of E. coli on it, it makes an E. coli factory down in your gut because you don't have any acid. So you know what that's from? From chronic stress. You've had chronic stress. I'm like, yeah, I got 15 years of chronic stress. She's like, okay, so now we've got to heal your stomach to teach it how to make acid again. And I'm like, brilliant. Okay, let's teach my stomach how to make acid again. That sounds like a brilliant solution.
And then let's try to create a stress-free environment because right there, that's the thing is that we're releasing all of these chemicals because we're stressed, because we're overwhelmed, all these emotions are coming to the surface, but it's such a natural environment for most of, well, Americans, but that's what I'm focusing on. Most people live in such a chronically stressed out environment,
yes.
Home life, work, our head can just be such a stressful environment that it creates this breakdown in our system. And then that leads to the illnesses that we're talking about. And so it's like, but doing the work, because I know when I started working on my chakras and working on my energy healing, actually, the very first thing I visualized before I even had Reiki or knew how to start energetically healing was my first or second day home. And I was laying in bed and I just started meditating, like, what do I need to do? And I was told I had 10 lesions in my brain. And I was like, okay, that's quite a bit to not know you had your whole life. And so I visualized and saw this purple light coming through my crown, out my feet. And the vision I saw was me running through this grass meadow. And those lesions were coming down and out of my feet and were left in the grass.
Yes.
And I hold on to that vision to this day, and it's been almost 5 years, because if they're there in that vision and that grass, that field, they're not in my head.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good like visual of how to remove the illness out of your body energetically by holding on to a vision of health and wellness.
Absolutely. You know,
and they might go back in and do an MRI and say, well, you still have them. But in my conscious, like wellness right now, my well-being, they're not there. They don't exist.
Well, and I feel the same. Like once we get the prognosis, once we have that, the visual of, okay, we've got 10 lesions. And for me, it was, I stayed awake for my, what is it called? Colonoscopy. Like I want to see what's going on in my colon. Don't put me under. And everyone usually gets put under. I was like, no, thank you. Keep me awake. Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with 10 out of 10 pain for the last 2 months. Like, I want to see what's going on. It's like ulcer, 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 ulcer. Like, and he was, and so I could see my gut bleeding out. And in that, I could then have the visualization, like the availability of going, now I can visualize that loving, healing energy coming and smoothing it all out. Right. So it's not that, seeing it or hearing it is the bad thing. It's what we think about it. We need to change the way we think. Like, okay, now I know where to start. I have this visual of what it looks like, and it's in the far unhealed state. Now I can bring in the visual of what it needs to be like in a healed state. And so we can bring in that visualization. And, you know, if we're looking at Joe Dispenza, if we're looking at these other people who this is their story, you know, like you can rebuild the body from your mind, right? Mm-hmm. And in that going, how do I need to walk in a light? How can I walk in my life in a state of I'm chronically healing?
Yes.
I am always healing. I am always available for more. I'm always available for the abundance of life force energy to come flooding into my life. And so what do we need to do to get into that state of receiving help, receiving support, and receiving that blessing of healing light into our life? And so what do we need to do? And so it might be canceling our chronically toxic relationships. It might be saying, you know what? I'm not available for that PTA meeting this year. I'm not going to overextend myself. I'm going to say yes to me. And that means making really strong boundaries of going, mm-hmm. this is what I'm available for. And this is what I'm not. It comes down to our identity, that solar plexus level on so many sides and angles. So it's not just I'm not identifying with the disease. That's a huge part of it. Like we're not going to identify. That is a
huge part of it. It's you creating your own prognosis. You have your doctor's prognosis. And if it doesn't align with you, then create your own. Visualize that life that you want. What is your desired outcome for your health? And when you can put that vision there and it's in your heart and it's in your actions, because it's not just, I mean, it's mainly in your thought, but the thought is what creates the action. So once you put the intent out there and you're disciplined with yourself, then that is really when the energy follows and it will start to heal the body. Because if you're not dealing with the chronic stress hormones and the negative self-talk and all of that, and saying, okay, I'm a sick person. Well, what does a sick person look like? They, you know, they self-suffer. They're laying in bed all day. There's no exercise. They're not eating well. They're not taking care of themselves. There's no self-nurturing. A lot of people don't have self-love because they are why me, poor me syndrome, versus when you think of being healed, you are active. And you're participating in your healing. And that's the difference, I think. And there's a fine line there. Yes. Take the moment you need to feel sorry for yourself, but give it a limit. Right. So take action right after that. Okay. Right. You know what? I felt sorry for myself. Why is this happening to me? All the thoughts, all the emotions, but then take action and move forward in your healing. Yes. Because once you have that awareness, then that's your new timeline to hop onto and say, this is the trajectory that I'm going on now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think with that, you're identifying who you are and mm-hmm. in that going, what's their lifestyle like? Yeah. Not just their food and their exercise, but who in their life is supporting their healing journey and who's inhibiting it? And where are you self-sabotaging to stay in that chronic state of unwellness, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, once they receive a diagnosis, they go out and they tell everyone. And when I received it, I didn't tell anybody. And my circle was so small because I didn't want anybody's negative self-talk put on me. I didn't want anybody's pity put on me. I just, you know, that was just where my mind was in the moment. I'm like, I want to cultivate and create this sacred space for me to heal. And everyone that was in that space with me was supportive of me and my healing journey. They may not have understood it because, you know, the doctors were trying to send me for infusions and I wasn't going that route. And there was fear, you know, in some of my family members, why aren't you doing this? And it was like, because it's not what's talking to me. And there was so many signs in the day of that me going and even trying to go have one of those done. And I actually was in the chair. I said, okay, I'll try one. And I got rear-ended that day. The student I was working with flipped out. My husband was chased by a crow and it was just cawing at him the whole time. And then when we got there, they handed me this packet with like this thick of a packet with all of these side effects. And as they're like strapping me to the chair and doing all these things, I'm like, no, I got to go. And I left. And the nurse was like, well, those symptoms will be here when you get back. And I'm like, I'm not coming back. And I haven't, Because then it was like, now I got to be serious. I just cut off that kind of treatment. I got to be serious now about my treatment.
And I think that's what it takes. It's radical self-care.
It radical.
Is radical choices for your self-love. It is radical removal of toxic energy in your life. What movies are you watching? What social media are you sucked into? To your partners, your friendships, your family. Who is it like you just need to push and keep at arm's length because their fear is so strong, it's toxic? We need to keep them at bay and going, this is my commitment to myself. And in my journey, I had to give up custody to start healing, you know, and that was really hard because my toxic ex is toxic to my son, right? And I had to get to that rock bottom place of going, I cannot heal if I have to be mama bear for him. And so this is what I'm talking about when I say radical. It might be, I have to rewrite the script of my life. If I want to survive this and move into a place of thriving, I need to rewrite the script of my life and weave back in the elements like my son at a different time, recognizing that there are things that show up in your life, the teachers, the opportunities of struggle are there to teach you something. And so we have to learn the lessons and come to a place of non-attachment. And when we're non-attached, the outcome of Zach, my son, chose this life. He chose his parents. He knew what he was getting into before he was even born. He knew it was going to be hard and going to be rough. And so as a mother, I have to let him go now, even though he was only 8, and go, you know, if it's meant to be, if he's supposed to be with me, he will come back. And I need to take care of myself right now. And I can't do that with a screaming colic toddler, an ex-husband who's always calling the police, and my son who needs me to be as a mama bear. I have to cancel those things out. And I have to make the change of going, this is what my life looks like. And it's got to be Reiki. It's got to be meditation. It's got to be chakra healing. And when I stayed, it's like staking a claim in the ground and calling to the universe, this is what I'm available for. I'm available for Reiki. I'm available for meditation. I'm available for healing and nothing else. Yeah. And so when you come to this place, you are literally pivoting your timeline and jumping onto a new timeline that says, my self-worth has an upgrade. I'm no longer available for those emotionally toxic communications, relationships, anything that makes me feel heavy, I'm not doing anymore.
Like, and I think that's the power in surrendering.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of people that might hear that story and think, well, how could you give up your kids? But how can you take care of your kids when you're so sick? So you have to surrender to the things that are so painful sometimes so you can be better. So then you can step up and become the mama bear later, you know, because in the moment you couldn't. And so without like judgment where people want to judge, it's like, no, you have to look at the big picture. And when you see the big picture of it, then you can go in and work all the fine details. And so I really appreciate that story of you sharing, because I think there's moms out there, dads out there that probably are in the same situation. They're like, how can I heal myself when I'm struggling with being a single mom, or I'm struggling with, you know, a relationship with my child or my husband or wife or whatever. And when we put ourselves first, that actually will go and heal the relationships that you have.
Exactly.
Which has happened.
You know, and I look back now and I see my son is very well adjusted. You know, he lives with me now. He buys, you know, he just last night, he saw his dad, he went out for pizza. They have a decent relationship. They're both in counseling together. They're working on their healing story. And he comes home with this sacred masculine book. You know, like he's helping coaching his friends who are struggling. Like, he's fine. He is absolutely fine. And from his perspective now, it's very much like, I chose my parents. They have both taught me valuable lessons and I honor both of them, even though it was hard. And so I love sharing that part of it too, of going, you know, and I'm a huge advocate for counseling. And the reason is because if we're stuffing our emotions, it's going to turn into chronic illness. If we're in the therapy or we're having a coach that's helping us process those emotions and releasing them and not holding and harboring them, then they're not, then they're going to be processed. They're not going to dive into your stomach or into your heart or into your knees or into your bones or whatever it is for you. Notice where your energetic weak spots are. We need to recognize our energetic weak spots, right? And for me, it happened to come through a teacher in the form of a very toxic, emotionally abusive, borderline personality disorder, narcissist, you know, like I needed that. And I'm not going to let anyone make me feel bad about that relationship. I had someone who really was trying to make me a victim, like, oh, poor you. And I'm like, oh no, he was my best teacher. He was the perfect teacher in my life. And I honor him for being, to be willing to come into this role in this lifetime as the ultimate asshole.
Like, and thank you.
He's doing his role so good. He's teaching everybody else how to have the boundaries, right?
Yes.
And so I honor it, and I'm not going to play the victim. And when we play victim, we're more likely to harbor all of those energetic dis-ease in the body. Hyphenate the word. It's dis-ease. And then it will manifest into physical disease, chronic illness, autoimmune.
Yep.
And so if we don't play the game of being a victim, going, everything happens for reason and purpose in my life, I have faith that everything is going to bring me to a point of helping my life, making my life the grandest version of who I am. And these are all lessons along the way. What do I need to learn from this? And what I can learn from this is going to help others. I'm going to bring this message to the world. That's why I love doing what I do, is because
is the motivating factor right there. And when you can recognize it, because with mine, I wouldn't be where I am right now without it.
Exactly.
You know, because there was no Reiki before my diagnosis, because I wasn't seeking it. Then once I got that and I found it, my entire world has shifted and changed. And now when I look at all the people I've worked with and I've helped, and not just with autoimmune, but just on so many different layers, I recognize everything I've gone through in my life has brought me to this point to be able to connect with so many different traumas and stressors and things in life and circumstances with people that I work with. And I think, wow, okay, that's when I can give the lesson, the gratitude and the thanks, because I see it showing up in my life, which is pretty amazing. And it takes a lot of strength in people to be able to get to that place. Absolutely. And a lot of self-awareness and a lot of self-healing. And when we can unpack what it is we've been carrying for 20, 30, 40 years, then our energetic body gets to lighten up. It gets to start the process of healing and releasing. Because once you have that awareness and the boundaries are set further out from your physical body, you really can see and fill your space up with that love and healing and nurturing and the things that you enjoy doing and taking space and time for yourself. And it's not selfish to say, I'm going to go sit outside for 20 minutes and just veg, you know, whereas that seems selfish. What do you mean? You're not clocked in at 8 and you're not clocked in till 5? Nope, I'm not. Not anymore. Because I've shifted.
And you start having the boundaries. It's really so much easier to create those healthy boundaries in your life, going, no, I'm not available for overtime. No, I'm not available to run my kids to 10 different activities a week. I got really clear, really fast of going, like, my children don't have extracurriculars. If someone else wants to sign them up, then they're agreeing to take them. Like, I'm not taking them nowhere. I'm not interested. And you know, it's like, this is what my energy cup is. I'm going to fill it up. And then if there's excess, then I'm going to support those around me. Yeah. And I have to remind people, it's like, we're all on a spiritual journey. We're all on a healing journey. And if we can identify with I'm on that walk. I'm on that path of healing to the grandest version of who I am to support those around me. When we can walk that walk, we can also attract others who are in the same headspace. Like, I go visit my parents and they live in a retirement community and everyone's talking about their ailments and what they have going on physically and when their hip replacement's going to be and all of these things. And I'm like, and my dad is sitting there going, should I be doing Reiki circles and offering Reiki sessions? I'm like, yeah. I'm going to get them out of their mindset. Like, you have all of the resources available to you. And, you know, my dad's a Reiki master. I'm like, I could come down and teach Reiki classes and you could do the Reiki circles. Like, they need help to get them out of their mind of like, just because you're 60 doesn't mean that your world is over. Just because you're 70 doesn't mean you need to stop traveling. Like,
no,
I'm a huge advocate of like, let's live our best life and let's do the things that fill us up and help us come into that space of expansion. So if talking about our health conditions brings us into a state of contraction, we're making ourselves small, we're focusing on the fear, we're focusing on death. And from an angle of death is scary and bad, that's not helping our energetic system. What's going to be the thing that moves us into a state of expansion? Is that
turning the TV off?
Turning the TV off. Totally.
Turning the TV off. No more commercials.
No more news.
Stop listening to the society norms.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like spending time in nature and eating food that is high vibe. And what I mean by that is like, I remember asking my spirit guides and my spirit team, going like, what should I eat? Because I was really struggling with that. And they were like, manna. And I'm like, oh, manna? Manna, like from the Bible, like spiritual food.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right? Manna. And I was like, where am I supposed to find that? And they were like, it was really hard to go, okay, we need to eat as clean as possible. That was my takeaway. We can't be eating GMOs. I remember going through my house after watching some GMO documentary with the trash can and everything got thrown away and going, I'm no longer available to have pinholes in my gut. No, thank you. If I have a leaky gut and this could be a possible cause, it is not manna. I'm not available for low vibe foods and going, I'm worth organic. I'm worth local. I'm worth going and spending time on my garden where I can give it Reiki and get the carrots and the lettuce and all of the things. And I love my garden. Like, I can't wait for gardening season and it's not here yet. Like, I live in Montana, so we really don't start gardening until like May. And I have a few short months to do all of my gardening. But it's that being one with the food that you're growing can be so healing. You know what's going into the soil. You know how often you're talking nice words to it and going, I love you. You're going to be so delicious and you're going to nourish my body and you are beautiful. And I can't wait till you grow to fruition. And like having that animus dialogue with nature. And I mean, I think this is, that's another point of radical choice. Of going, I want to eat some food that I have grown year round. What does that look like? Maybe it's that you grow garlic that can preserve. Maybe it's your squash plants that can preserve. Maybe it's your pickled green beans or your sauerkraut. You know, like there's all these different ways that you can energetically influence the food that you eat and going, why not? Why are we not doing this? Noticing the type of change we would have in our world if we all had small garden plots.
Mm-hmm. And speaking to the food, like you're talking about, speaking to your water, you know, setting in the intentions. And when you're cooking and preparing your food, do it with love in your heart. Yes. You know, don't be angry. Don't be frustrated. Don't put that energy into your food because that's what you're consuming and that's what you're eating. So if you see it like that, like, how am I cutting rough? Am I irritated because, you know, I'm in my argument with my spouse or whatever, or my kids? that's exactly what you're putting into your food and you will be consuming. So we also have to change the mindset too of how we're cooking, how we're preparing, speaking to our food, speaking to our water, and just creating this intention of health in all things that you do, just being health, you know, healthy, yeah. You know, and you take a shower, raking your shower head so that you're getting that water that's cleansing you. It's going into the pores of your skin and into your body, right? So you also want to make sure you have good water that you're bathing in. So if that means putting a filter on your shower head or having a filter system on your house so that you're not getting all the chemicals.
Right.
In my area, we tested our water and the guy said, you know, when you go swimming in your pool and you smell like chlorine and then you go shower to take the chlorine off, he's like, you have more chlorine in your water in your shower than you do in your pool. I was like, I have a filter system on my house now because I was like, we can't be putting that much chemical in our body. And we do. So it really is looking at the whole picture of how is our body sustaining through so many chemicals and everything in our food, our water, our drinks, everything that we're consuming. So eliminating as much as we can.
Absolutely. And so it's really a holistic process.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's okay that it takes time for your body to match that new energy. There's mm-hmm. going to be a time lapse and to honor the process. I had to lie in bed for about 4 months straight, waiting for my gut to detox and rebuild itself. It takes 6 to 8 months minimum to rebuild your gut lining. I know from firsthand experience, right? But I had layers and layers and layers that needed to be detoxed so that I can move into now we're just regrowing the lining of my intestines, right?
Yeah, and going, it does take time.
I'm worthy to do that. If I'm going to rebuild my body, let's get on board with that. Now, like you can think of the liver, it changes every 7 to 10 days. It creates anew. So if you are having liver disease and you're taking time to see your liver healthy and functional, get on board with that timeline. Okay, I have a new liver every 7 days. Bring that, like it's in the realm of possibility.
Absolutely.
Right. So like it's doing the work and showing up and knowing that you're worth it and cutting out what no longer serves you, whether that's food or people or whatever it may be, to say yes to you, to getting the counseling, to getting the healing work, to processing those old emotions, however it needs to be done to let them go. This isn't the counselor that wants you to stay stuck in the past. It's the counselor who's going, how can we move through these emotions? And this is why I like working with coaches personally, is because I want to move through the emotions and adhere to a new future forecast of being in that state of health and wellness, of prosperity, of abundance, of clarity, of consistency, of having things go my way and it work out for me. You know, so like, how can we say yes and make the investments? This is where I could have gone to the ER, but I went to a functional, holistic coach instead, you know? And so you have a choice. And I think that's what it all comes down to. Everyone has a choice.
Yeah.
It's in our solar plexus. We can choose to be a victim and stay in the mindset of I am sick and everything is hard and my body is broken. Or we can have a choice to say, my body is healing and I'm going to give it all the love and care it needs to be in a space to heal fully. This is my sacred container. This is my temple. This is my palace. My body is my palace for my spirit. And what do I need to do to bring that into alignment of health and rejuvenation and healing and overflow and abundance? And saying yes to that.
To know that our body is so amazing and does self-heal. So you're either allowing, like you're saying, you're speaking to your body, this is my temple. This is my avatar or my vehicle in this world, however you want to put it. But if you're not taking care of yourself, it's going to fall apart. Just like your car, if you don't take care of your car, it's going to fall apart and break down on you. And so it's like a car can last 20 years, but if you don't take care of it, it's only going to last you five, you know, and that's the same thing with our body. And if we can put that kind of concept on it and recognize we get to heal ourselves through our emotions, our thoughts, our processes, then our body is going to step up and it's going to meet that. It's absolutely going to start. The liver is going to heal. The brain's going to heal. The heart's going to heal. But it takes time, because if we do so much damage to ourselves, it can take years to heal that. And just having patience with yourself and having that space for yourself to do the healing that needs to be done.
Right. And I think this also speaks to, we may be dealing with generational trauma. Mm-hmm. Right. This is trauma that's been passed down lifetime to from generation to generation. And when we actually stop and say, I'm worthy to do this work, you're not only healing yourself, you're healing the generations that's going to move forward from you. And yeah, they will learn new ways of being and new ways of talking and new ways to move with the energy. And there are so many people who are waking up the earth because